We'll call this meeting of the Development Review Board to order. Will the secretary please call a roll?
Sure. Ms. Fishman?
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Here.
Ms. O'Brien?
Here.
Ms. Shukegel?
Here.
Members Kilbride and Crosby are not here. Chairman Martin?
Here. We have a quorum. The first matter that we're going to deal with tonight is we have some minutes from the meeting that we held on March 21st of this year. We need to approve these minutes. Has everybody had an opportunity to review these minutes? Okay, does somebody who was present at that meeting make a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that the minutes be approved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Sure. Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
I was absent.
Oh, okay. Ms. Shukegel?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right. Now, the next thing on the agenda this evening is what we call a pre-filing conference. And that's where an applicant has indicated that they have an interest in developing some property in the village. They've already been before the village board and expressed to the board in a very preliminary fashion what they would like to do. And now they're here this evening to make a presentation to the Development Review Board. There's no application on file. Because there's no application on file, we're not going to make a recommendation tonight. We're not going to take a vote. This is an opportunity for the developer, the owner, the proposed developer, to tell us what they want to do with this property. And for us as a board to give them an idea of if you file an application, these are things that we want to make sure that you discuss. We identify these as very important. And likewise, anybody who's here tonight that wants to address the board, and that's why we've asked you to sign up, will have an opportunity to ask questions of the board, ask questions to be directed to the developer. But remember, there's no application on file. So these ideas that are presented this evening can be refined or amended or changed before an application is filed. And there's not even a guarantee that an application will be filed. But this is a preliminary hearing, a preliminary meeting that our code says we can hold in order to hear what the applicant wants to do, so that when an application is filed, it's not a surprise. You know, they know what our concerns are. They know what the public is concerned about and wants addressed in this project. So with that understanding, we're gonna go ahead with this hearing. It is not as formal as a regular hearing. We're gonna ask the applicant and anyone that the applicant has brought with them to tell us what they want, tell us what they propose to do. And they also have the ability to ask us to waive some of the application requirements. Whether they'll be waived or not will be discussed later. So if everyone understands what's going to happen, we'd ask Mr. Sheets to begin the presentation on behalf of the applicant.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and folks that took the time tonight. Thank you. I'm glad to be here to be able to present the development and answer questions. Before we start, the presentation is taken from our application. There are some slides there that are consolidations of the data, just so that they're not repetitive. But in general, the PowerPoint is reflective of the application that was submitted for tonight. With that said, I'd like to move into the slides. And I'd like to introduce the development team. The developer, a client would also be the builder for the development, is Bonnie Bray Construction, LLC. The manager for that corporation is here tonight. And so he'll be making a few short statements about that. I am the approvals consultant and the architect for the development, JCSA Chicago. Should have led Mr. Chairman with my address. My name is John Sheese, I'm an architect, place of business at 7706 Central in River Forest. And that's for the record.
John, the speakers aren't working.
Oh, I will speak up then. I see everybody leaning into me, I apologize for that, and I'll take this away. The sales and marketing consultant is here tonight with us, Avenue One, Mariano Molo, from River Forest. He'll introduce himself as questions may come up. So after that introduction, this is a zoning map that we look at. Zoning map for the entire, this section of the village, and it shows the site right there, right across the street from Concordia. This is meaningful because it tells both the village and residents what other uses are allowed within the zone district right next to the lot. Here are some site photographs. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, but it does show the existing three flat with a parking lot to the south. That's the property. We'll show it to you in drawing form. You're very familiar with it, but as questions come up, we can always come back to this slide. This is an aerial view. It gives you a bird's eye view of the development. You can see the now completed development, but it's currently under construction. It's a dated photograph from Google. It does show the contacts going north and going south, and the word site is written in that square where we are planning to build the development. There's another view from a slightly different angle. We can use this for reference on future questions tonight. This is the survey from the property. You see the parking lot that we mentioned there to the south. It is on the corner of Bonnie Bray and Thomas. Parking lot is immediately on the corner. There is a three-unit condominium building where there it says parcel three, and there are two garages that face the alley to the right or the east of the property. As our proposal moves along, you will see that our proposal removes the parking lot, removes the parcel number three, the condominium building, and the two parking garages. A couple of things to note here is the driveway that's currently on Thomas, that it's used to serve that parking lot. This is our proposed site plan. Site plan is how we plan to arrange the buildings on the property. Again, Thomas is on the lower end of the slide. Bonnie Bray is on the left-hand side, and the public alley is on the right. The two colored squares, the gray and the white, represent townhomes. They are three-level townhomes that have a two-car garage underneath. Similar townhomes have been built in the village that follow this prototype. They generally are 37 feet long by 20 feet wide for about 2,000 square feet of living space. One of the things about the arrangement here that I'd like to point out, if I can use this as a pointer, we felt it important to break up this, to not have a straight wall. If you walk down Bonnie Bray, what you have are structures, then airspace, structures, then airspace. You know, as you keep walking either north or south. And so by leaving this as a gap between buildings, we follow that street rhythm on the property. The back building, or the middle building here, has townhomes along it. Both of these are accessed by vehicles. So you would, if you are a resident here, you would enter this private driveway and have garages on either side. So the gray area holds the garages. So to make it a much finer point, each one of those townhomes would have a two-car garage in it. In the back, or off the alley, we have a series of townhomes here. This is building number four. The vehicles, or the cars for the homes that there, are accessed through the alley. So if you live on any one of these homes, you would enter the alley and then go in underneath your home. Garage comes out. It's fully enclosed garage space. If you have friends visiting and you live in one of these two buildings, your guests would enter via a front door right off of Bonnie Bray. If you live in either one of these two and you have folks visiting you, they would access this the front doors here. So residents come in the back. If you live there, your friends, or if you're walking, come in the front door. Everyone can also access their garage, but I'm not sure a lot of folks receive guests through their garage. There are four parking spaces, two of which are off the alley here. These are surface, non-covered parking spaces, so they're just open to the air. And we have another two here for a total of four parking spaces. So if you do the quick count, there are 19 units, 38 parking spaces for residents, and four parking spaces for guests. The other thing of note on the site plan is this driveway here. The curb cut, it currently is right here, so our proposal is to move the curb cut to this location to serve these townhomes. If there's no more questions, Mr. Chairman, you know, everyone can just interrupt. I'm going on flow here, but certainly can interrupt. As I mentioned, the townhomes are three levels. So let me walk you in. If you are a resident, if you're a visitor, you would come in the front door. There's a bedroom on the lower level. This could be used as a multi-purpose. A lot of folks in these homes that we've built in the area use these as either guest rooms or offices, since they come with a full bathroom here. There's a privacy door here. The garage space is in the back. This is the overhead garage door with an outdoor balcony that cantilevers over at the second floor. The stairs to gain access to the upper floors is right here, small closet here. Once you get on this main level, you have a very open floor plan. So you could see from one window clear to the back. This is, anyone following townhome prototypes, this is pretty much the new design, to have all of the living space open from one end to the other. There's a powder room tucked in the corner here, a large family island here, and a counter galley kitchen here. You would go up to the upper floor here, and on the upper floor, there are two bedrooms at each end of the townhome. So you have two bedrooms, two bathrooms. One is clearly appointed as the master suite with a walk-in shower and a large walk-in closet, larger bedroom. And then in the front, you have something similar to that, but the bathroom is accessed from the hallway. Each unit has a top floor, which is really an access to the roof deck. So this would be on the roof here. All these decks face the back. So as you're walking down Bonnie Bray, you would not see these. These are hidden from view by these larger structures. You'll see when you see the structure, the elevations. So that's it. As I mentioned, there are three bedrooms. I think there are three baths, three and a half baths. Oh yeah, thank you. The washer and dryer is here on the floor that generates most of the laundry. That's tucked in here and around the stairs. top floor has an access there, and a small storage area for, for outdoor furniture, so in the winter, the furniture would come inside. Let's see. Still don't get the hang of this. This is an elevation, and an elevation is a tool to be able to see how the buildings would look. It's not actually representative, so it's not a perspective view, but it does give you an idea of the windows and the other building materials. And the building materials are cast stone. These gray elements that you see are cast stone. Two colors of masonry brick. And then there are these bay elements that come out and create a shadow. So beyond that point, some of these have them, so the two end units here, so that as you're walking along, you get a sense of differing materials. The elevations are different. It's not cookie cutter one after the other. So that sort of distinguishes it there. And the next view is on the side, where you see the, this is the roof access there. They're tucked far back, so from street, these are visible, but only from a distance. You can see the cantilever balconies. This is the driveway off of Thomas. This is the courtyard, and again, you see the bays that articulate and undulate the facade. Again, primary building materials, cast stone and masonry brick. This is a landscape plan. It is preliminary. We haven't had any feedback, but you can see that we're starting to look at the rhythm of the street, where buildings have landscaping that undulates back and forth. We've recommended some species, but certainly the village may recommend some different species of landscaping and parkway trees. I think we are planning on putting in some parkway trees here to, again, create that street rhythm. There are some existing, but I think these are all proposed. I'm looking at my client to see if we're in agreement on that. And certainly, on Thomas Street, I think this is an existing tree, and these are existing trees, and this one may or may not be. It's hard for me to read that. Again, those are preliminary. I always like to put the facts out there. The size, the parcel meaning the lot area for this property combined is 27,681 square feet. Our surveyor has certified that. We're proposing 19 townhomes in four buildings. The parking for the townhomes are two parking spaces per home for a total of 38 parking spaces. Parking for guests are four that are on site, as we saw before. This gets a little blurry, but it is the formal zoning analysis that we did on the property. Village asks us to take a look at the code and say, okay, this is what the code allows, this is what you're proposing, and here are the things that you are looking to, you're looking for a variance request on these. So what I've done, this is actually part of our packet, but I've summed it up in these requested allowances. So on lot coverage, the zoning ordinance allows for a maximum of 70%. We're asking for 74%, so 4% of the lot area. The front yard setback, so the setback off of Bonnie Bray, is required to be 20 feet. We are asking for a 15-foot setback. The side yard, or the south, is required to be 25 feet. That is the property along, or the property line along Thomas is required to be 25 feet. That's a strict reading of the code, and we're asking for 5 foot, so 20 foot variance from that. And the rear yard, We are set back 2 feet from the alley, and the code requires us to be 27'8", and we're asking for relief for that as well. We've presented the data for that, and we just wanted that to be part of the understanding. Before I move off this slide, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, I think the neighbors and certainly the Development Review Board knows that this development, this property had a previous approval that I think is still active.
No.
No, it was rescinded. Okay. Then.
It's expired.
You wouldn't be here if it was still active.
Okay, so it expired, but it did grant certain allowances. I don't want to get too parsed into that because that's that development, and this is what we're proposing today. But I will tell you the building height is lower. We can engage in that conversation if you wish, but I think tonight it would be helpful to get your feedback on what we're proposing tonight. Almost done. Here we go. We are asking for only one waiver from the plan development requirements, and that is included in the packet. It's the professional traffic study. For this, the manager, who is here tonight, Art Gurevich, wrote a letter that is part of the packet, but in terms of the record of tonight's hearing, I'd like to ask him to come up and talk a bit about that.
Good evening. My name is Art Gurevich, and I'm the manager of Piney Bray Construction LLC, and I'm a developer and also a general contractor for the project. The reason for our request to waive the traffic study is that the traffic pattern of this proposed development is less intensive than the one that was for our previous proposed development at the site, for which traffic study was conducted, and it was found that it was that the impact of the project would be de minimis on the area. So we feel that this is a less.
Could you speak up, please?
Yes.
That doesn't work. The microphone isn't working.
So we feel that since this project is less intensive than the previous one, so we're asking to waive the formal traffic study for this project.
So we put a fine point on that, and probably for the residents. The requirements of the application say that we should submit a traffic study. With a different team, had the previous project approved that included, in our opinion, a higher intensive use. In other words, we would imagine that more cars would come in with that development than with this development. So that's the rationale for asking for the waiver. Moving along, in the wrong direction. I always like to throw the compensating benefits. I know it's a pre-application conference. So these two, we will expand on this during the formal, after we file a formal application. We believe it's sustainable development. Mariano Molo from Avenue One has come on at the team because the previous development was not sustainable. There just wasn't enough interest in the development. I wasn't part of that team, but I do know the history of it, and I think it's sat being marketed by a different firm for about over two years.
Yeah.
There weren't enough contracts. In other words, there simply weren't enough people interested in large condominiums. Mariano, who is a realtor marketing these actively today and before, it's our collective opinion that these homes for the price that they're looking to be listed, will sell. The other benefit to this, since we're on this topic, with condominiums, you have to build them to almost 90% before you can move the first person in. And I say 90% because all the building systems have to be 100% in and approved by the village inspectors. Whereas townhomes, you can finish one block as long as all the other development is done. You can start selling and closing those homes. So the building type change is a big advantage here over the condominium building. Smart growth, building around transportation corridors is it's almost a must these days in communities like River Forest and Oak Park. We believe that's what this is. It brings in a certain kind of housing type that isn't widely available. So there are some townhomes in River Forest and neighboring communities, but that's what the market is saying. You know, we need a mix of townhomes and single families and condominium living. That's what we believe this does. It provides a new housing type. I'll never stand here and tell you that these will lower your property taxes. Property taxes are a function of things that are out of control of developers and sometimes villages, but they will not have a negative impact on property values. They'll actually be supportive of those. With that, I'm done. I'm here to answer questions and also hear your feedback on the proposal.
I guess I'm just curious, is the basis of the decision to change to townhomes and why you think that will be more marketable than the condominiums? I mean, who are you selling to? Just curious.
That's a great question. I'd like to have Mariano Molo from the sales and marketing team answer that.
Hi, how are you? My name is Mariano Molo from Avenue One. We provide brokerage services, consulting to developers, as well as consulting to new construction homes. So as of right now, what we're finding from our buyers are, we have buyers that have roots to River Forest, so they're either currently now living in River Forest or from the surrounding areas, Forest Park, Elmwood Park, Oak Park. They are looking to downsize, but still have that availability to be able to have family over, so we have empty nesters that are moving in right now. Looking for the townhome product. We have young couples that are looking for townhouse product, and we have young professionals that are looking for a townhouse product. They're also looking for new construction, low maintenance, trying to stay away from high HOA fees that you find in condominiums, and the previous development, a product of, you know, $600,000-$800,000 condo. We just don't have a market for that right now. These townhouses will be marketed at from $599 to $615. And we have found that from other developments that we've worked on, that's kind of a sweet spot number that's worked for the buyers that we've been able to pick.
I guess I think because it's a townhome, I don't know that investors would particularly be a draw. So do you think this would be sold to families starting out so there would be more children? You know, we have to think of the kit.
Right. So typically it's a starting point. It's a first-time home buyer of young couples that are planning on having a family. They're usually not in the townhome once, you know, if they do have a child, after that child's, you know, start 5-6 years old, they start moving on to homes. So it's kind of like a starter. Okay.
All right, when this project was last before the board, you know, we had a similar presentation from the sales staff at that time, that this is what the village wanted, this is what the village needed. I think you told us that you had conducted studies, you'd have focus groups, and people were interested in condominiums that cost $400 a square foot. That's why you were building that project. So, you know, now 2 years later, you're coming to us with a completely different economic analysis. And I think you better be prepared to defend that economic analysis, because one thing we have to make sure is that this project is going to succeed, and you're not going to waste our time like you did 2 or 3 years ago by getting a project approved that you never put a shovel in the ground for.
I can agree.
So, at least from my perspective, you know, you're going to have to convince me that this is economically justified, because that's what your people said 2 or 3 years ago.
When we came to you the first time with a large boutique style condominium, and I still believe to this day that there is a buyer who would buy that unit. The problem is, before you sell it, you need to build it. And to build it, you need to finance it. And no bank would touch that kind of, that's a very expensive project, and no bank would touch it without a significant amount of pre-sales. Well, it so happens that the average age of the buyer for that kind of unit was early to mid-70s or later. And people would not make a 4-year or 5-year commitment for a building of that type. So that was kind of a catch-22. I want it, but and that's why we couldn't build it. If it were built, it's like Las Vegas. You know, if you build it, they will come. Yeah, if you build it, they would come, but we just could not build it. Out of pocket, you cannot build this kind of building. This project is different. There are no pre-sale requirements because it's a townhome project. It's individual units. So it's much easier to finance, much easier to sell, to market, and it's much easier to build. And of course, a shorter time frame. So if you ask me, would that previous project work? I think it would, but for that to work, you know, it would require a financial commitment that nobody could make. We had people who came to us, they were interested, but only a few people put the contracts on the table. And that's why the project did not happen. But we still believe it was a good project.
Okay,
this is a completely different story. It's much easier. It's a cheaper per square foot cost. It's not. It does not require a special buyer.
But you had the same. You had the same optimism 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but I have no concerns about financing this project. So that project we came here, I was optimistic, but it involved other considerations that I had no bearing on. Yeah, this project we can easily finance and build it. So that's a given. That's not a
okay.
That's probably the biggest constraint.
I have a question. So there's a townhome project on Madison there,
yes.
Madison and Forest. I think there's at least 4 townhomes that are not sold, so that they've been listed, I think, for about 2 years. How is this project going to be different from that, and why do you think that project still has unsold townhomes?
I can answer. So we also worked... my company worked on the project, which was directly across the street, which was Van Buren in Madison. Those were 17 townhomes. Those had a sellout in 1 year's time. So by the time the last townhome was finished, it had already closed. The townhomes on Madison Street on the River Forest side, you know, I feel that those were built to be somewhat outdated as far as design-wise. They don't meet, you know, today's what today's buyer is looking for, as far as look, feel, facade, modern feel, open floor plan, and some of the design elements. I believe there's a few more than 4 left.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to knock that project. I just know that directly across the street, we were able to give a product that we feel that today's buyer's actually looking for, and it was a big success. So that's what I would say, that the type of townhome that we're building here is something that a buyer's looking for versus kind of what was built there.
So maybe you'll have to explain to us in the application or presentation what the difference is between the two types of townhomes.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely has a lot to do with the ele, and it'll have a lot to do with the elevations. If you look at the elevations on, you know, the Madison project, there's nothing different about any of the elevations. It's a prairie style, which nowadays what buyers are looking for are big windows, a lot of light, and to have at least some type of variable from townhouse to townhouse, to where they're not eight of them in a row that look identical to each other.
Piggybacking on that, I think those are really good questions, questions that we need to answer. A little brief history on the transition from the previous project to this. Mariano was actually, and his company and his team came in to analyze the development. You know, is it something, is there something there that can be salvaged? They're just the whole structure. The answer came back no. And then you actually did try to market those for a short time, but it just wasn't hitting it. Mariano comes with experience, direct experience across the street on Madison, and said, look, to us, to the whole team, if you want to sell in this price range, you're going to need to follow this formula. The large windows, the open floor plans, something that you do not find on the Madison townhomes. And I was involved in that team. Thank God, not as the architect, but I did help approve that development. But that, you know, the design was under the control of my client. And he felt strongly that they would sell. Market is, but your point is taken that we will put that documentation into the application to support our position.
Anything else you or your team want to present at this point?
Not at this point. Let me check with them.
So we're going to call on the public then, and after they make their comments or ask questions, you'll have an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so Ms. Shiner is going to call on anybody who signed up. If you'd approach the podium and ask your questions or give us your comments or tell us what you want to make sure is the information that's contained in the development. And you'll understand that this is a helpful meeting now. That we're not going to vote. There's no concrete proposal before us to vote up or down on. We're looking for input now to make the whole application process easier for the developer and for us at the building.
Edmund Burke?
Yeah.
Can you come to the, well, actually, with the microphones not working, just stay where you're at.
Well, I was here about the traffic business. I live in Valencia, and I go over to the cardiac and Parkinson program over at Gottlieb. Three or four times a week, and the traffic going down there with a shuttle was very hard to get by other cars coming north and south. And also, my wife, it works at Dominican, and she's afraid even to go down north on Bonnie Bray to school because she got to swing around the other way again because kids are getting out of cars and so forth. And also, the Dominican shuttle runs six times a day back and forth, 6 days a week. That's whatever that is, 40 times a week. And these shuttles, as you know, are pretty wide vehicles, and it's very hard for a car coming this way and going that way. So to go down one block sometimes takes 3 or 4 minutes. It's also the risk of the kids running back and forth. Our older boys and girls going to Concordia, young kids going to Grace, makes it somewhat risky for these shuttles and for cars going each way. So the concern that I and others have is in regards to the traffic, which is always busy on Augusta anyway, and Division anyway, as well as in the Valencia building, we have a number of older people there. Well over 80 in some cases, who are driving cars and doing it safely. but nevertheless opposed the risk by these cars coming back and forth. So the principal concern I have, and I think others as well, is just a question of traffic, which can be risky and possibly dangerous.
Okay. Thank you.
Michelin Silvetti?
No, I have questions, but not...
I'm sorry, Colleen, help me with your last name.
Dunnigan.
Dunnigan, thank you.
Mine are more background and I'm trying to understand the townhome idea. So they'll all be separate. They'll be parking. Is it underground or is it at grade? So it'll be up three stories, you said, with the grade. It's the park is at grade. You'd be coming off the street to park, or will you be going through that one entrance going down?
Let me ask the chairman if he wants me to respond.
Yes,
the parking, when I said underneath, it's within the building. The parking is on grade.
You have to go down to get into it?
No.
So you have to be, at grade?
At grade, correct.
Pulling in off whatever entrance you have at grade, and you go back
correct.
In there. Okay, then the other thing I asked about the balconies. So two, a Juliet balcony in front, and then a deck on top. Where will each place have an air conditioning unit outside? Or will, like you said, it's a less maintenance? Will they have it inside their house or outside? So will it be one unit for the four or five buildings on the top?
Because
the deck, where's the air conditioning unit?
So these are attached. Another way to think of these is they're attached single family homes. So everything is independent of all the other neighbors. The only shared thing is a common wall. So air conditioning is individual for each townhome. Plumbing systems, water heaters, everything is individual, unlike a condominium where there are shared common areas. The driveways and some of the walks are shared, but other than that, no, the services are individual.
And then the 3.5 baths.
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. So they'll access the sewer on Bonnie Bray or on the Harlem?
Probably not Harlem. The next step is to have the engineer actually look at it and say, hey, the sewer that's closest is on this street and not that street. Likely just
Bonnie Gray
or yes, but likely, but that hasn't been worked out just yet.
Okay, so there'd be 20 more units, would be not 20 townhouses? 19. I'm just curious about how the sewers that were set up for the three, and then we have two buildings accessing the same sewer. You know, and your access is yours. So will this sewer, the main sewer, be, has any study been done that they can it accommodate the new dorm at Concordia, our two buildings, and the other 19?
That's a good question. Part of our team that's not here tonight, a civil engineer, will actually look at that, submit their calculations to the village. The village will have a consultant look at it and say, we agree or we don't agree, and something else has to be done. So that step has yet to be taken.
I'm just saying water, the access is the owner's. The sewer is River Forest. They don't support your access to it.
Well, we connect to it.
Yeah, connect to your access.
Yes.
So the three bathrooms, and they're going to be taking a lot, and I'm just saying, you multiply by three. The things are existing. The sewer's existing, the electricity's existing, and then the internet. You know, so if you're using more electricity, and we're like, I don't, it's the internet, they're switching boxes in a park. It's not a member force. So would it be another study, like, just saying how that additional usage will be accommodated by either your firm or the village?
Well, we start. There's a statement here about impact on village services. I think that's where the question comes from. And so it's the burden's on us to prove it, but there's still review on the part of the village that says, we agree or we don't agree.
And then the is there any opportunity for if the AT&T comes in or if the Con Ed comes in, and also the infrastructure to different things that would be wired for? Is there any opportunity for the other residents to hop on for a better price for we need our...
Oh, heck yeah. Well, no, I'm being glib, but let me check with my client before I go out on that. But as part of the development, we have to work with ComEd and AT&T and...
And DirecTV and Dish.
Yes, yes, all those folks.
So just to go back very quickly to the utilities, the public utilities, such as sewer and water, with the last development, with any development that comes in, the village's engineer and the development team look at water flow in the area, they look at water mains, water service lines, they look at sewer lines, to determine whether or not a development will have an impact on the existing infrastructure in a way that the existing infrastructure can support. Right. And if it can't, if it has to be expanded, then we take a look at that, and the developer has to share in the cost of the impact to the village services. So with the previous development proposal that they were talking about, which was 15 condominium units, and they were gonna deconvert that apartment building to three condos, so there would have been 18 units. We determined at that time that the existing infrastructure could support that development. We take a look at the water pressure, not just in terms of servicing your sinks and faucets and your showers, but also in terms of the fire hydrants in the area to ensure that in case there's some sort of an emergency, there's adequate water pressure to fight a fire. So those are things that we look at. This is a highly collaborative process that the developer has to go through with the village staff, and that comes down to our engineering team, Public Works, it comes down to police and fire, building and zoning and administration, and we look at all aspects of that. In terms of private utilities, that's not something we typically get involved in, but certainly these are all things that we look at for every development that comes in, and this is no exception.
How will it impact, say, our internet or our, you know, the water, which is so expensive, so I mean, you know, just I'm just thinking, there's a lot, that seems like a lot to me. But if they're
sure.
built right, if it's adequate, I understand the engineering part. But I do understand the decks and the things that, you know, that is, and then the balconies are bad. How far out do they come, you know? Are they just like, you know, where you stand out on like a little ledge or, the Juliet ones are in front, I can see that, it's, you know, it'd be attractive.
I believe the answer is 4 and 5 feet. They vary on different buildings. But if you use that, that's a safe number, let me tell you. 5 feet.
So one of the things we'll do when an application has been submitted is to consider what the project looks like, what the materials are gonna be for the project. And we have an architect on the board who's not here tonight, who we will rely on to deal with some of these questions about appearance and safety and things like that. But you know, we don't have the details yet of the application, so we can't answer yes or no.
But one more thing on your marketing, your market you're aiming for. On the, you said there was older couples that are downsizing. Will it be three floors of stairs? You go for the garage, you got groceries. You're going upstairs to get to your main floor. And then another set of stairs for the third floor.
Correct.
Will there be an elevator in any of the units?
No.
About like an elevator in the garage, maybe?
No.
So how are they gonna move in? I just don't understand with other stairs.
Well, this prototype is not new to this area. I've been designing and building them since 1999. I'm amazed that people that are my age and still go up and down three floors to get to bedrooms. They folks that are mobile do use them. It's interesting in my, I'm not the marketing person, but in my history, it does hit the young buyers, you know, they'll either have a preschool, you know, a preschool meaning not yet in school child, but when that second child comes in, they move into a single family. It's kind of the test home for the community. And then the people that have sold a single family home don't like to shovel snow, don't like to rake leaves, don't like to clean gutters, and are willing to just live in those. Sometimes those are...
Have to do that, huh?
Pardon?
You're independent, you still have to do that?
No, no, I'm saying.
There's no association?
That's why, yeah, the association does it, so.
So there'll be 19 in the association?
One of the things that they have to submit with an application is an economic analysis of the project. And, you know, we don't know exactly if they, there may be 19 units, there may be 18, they may come back and tell us they want 20. But they gotta justify it economically and show it. So these questions about who's gonna live there and do they care about walking upstairs, you know, this is kind of premature to think about these because they're gonna have to present to us information that these can be sold. And it could be the same information they presented about the condo units, that those could be sold. So we just have to wait and see what they tell us.
Yeah, I think we're just going back to Marion's question, but what market, because you, the townhomes, you don't have to have 50% sold. You have to have a lesser number. So is the, what's the, if you mentioned the older people, what would be the percentage of the, how much percentage do they need to start that, that's what I'm saying?
Well, they're gonna give us a letter from a bank that says that there's financing in place and that letter's gonna tell us, give us some idea as to what the pre-sales are necessary in order to release the financing on each of these individual buildings.
Mr. Chairman, if I can tell you, we did submit a letter, there are no pre-sale requirements.
So.
What's the price range, may I ask?
$599,000.
From $599,000 to $615,000.
$599,000 to $615,000.
Okay, anything else, Mrs. Donegan?
I've learned quite a lot, but thank you for listening.
Gene and Mary Sullivan.
That's me, okay. Mary and I have lived at 1009 Monty Reagan for over 12 years. And one thing we learned very quickly, that the parking spaces on Bonnie Bray are not infinite. They're not, they're limited. And I don't even know if they know how many residents live on Bonnie Bray. Now, the parking at the school, the parking lot, which I think some of Grace Lutheran shares a little bit of it, but they no longer allow anyone other than students to park in that parking lot. I parked there several years ago and rented for a few years there, but they do not allow that anymore. My concern is that any of us, we have family, large families. She's one of seven, I'm one of eight, okay. To say that there's two parking places for the public behind the building, I think you said that, I hope I got that. Four, okay, but four. But realistically, one family could take those four parking places. One family. So, you know, and realistically, unfortunately, some people own three cars, not even two cars anymore. And the traffic, I'm very interested in the traffic concerns. What we said about the school, Grace Lutheran, is when the mothers and fathers deliver their children to school, they get out on the left side of their car, and anyone who's turning right off of Division, you have this open door with the parent trying to take out a young child out of the car, and the roadway is not that wide, and there's a concern, especially if cars are coming the other way. I think that's a real concern. But the traffic pattern is gonna increase. The building on Chicago Avenue being put up, which is wonderful, but people will turn right on Bonnie Bray. And guess where they're gonna come? They're gonna come down to Augusta. They're not gonna take a side street to get out. So Augusta and Bonnie Bray have had accidents there, all right? Now, I don't know if the survey shows that. And Division, I don't know what the accident rate is, but I do know there is a limit to parking places in this area. And it's a grave concern. Unfortunately, the automobile controls our lives, whether we like it or not. And I think it's a concern that before we were going to have from the luxury condos, which all condos are luxury, which we know that. But that was going to be, I think, six. Was it three in one condo?
18.
Something like that. And now we have 24 families that are going, no, it's 20, I'm sorry, it's 19.
19.
19, I'm sorry. 19 families, which they might have two or three children who would like to come and visit them. And it's, first of all, I want to thank the board, Mr. Mark, et cetera, and the potential owners for their great drive and desire to contribute to the community. I think that's very, always very, very important, because you're putting your dollars where your mouth is, and you know, you're not doing it for fun. So, but I am very concerned. I don't think it's just a unreasonable concern about the limited parking places that are now left on Bonnie Brae. And this will increase this considerably, but your project would not be the killer. But the point is, the ones that are there now often have two or three cars. There's one person that has a motorcycle that everyone on the block doesn't particularly like. He's so loud. But the point is, I think it's a grave concern. I do worry about the school and the parents who are distracted and well-meaning, but opening that door on the left side of the car, this car is parked on the right side, and someone turning off Division will, if they're not paying attention, is going to turn right into the five or six cars that are lined up every morning to let the young students out. So that's a grave concern to all of us. And while we admire the ingenuity and interest and desire to help the community, but the community, in effect, has grave concerns about this. Now, I don't know about the traffic program that you talked about. I thought you said that you were relying on the previous traffic report. And if so, that's really not a valid way to do it.
The village code sets out how many parking spaces are needed for each residential unit and how many parking spaces are needed to accommodate the guests. As long as they meet those code requirements, they don't have to ask for a variation. The village code also requires that as part of this application, they submit a traffic study that deals with the issues that you're talking about. They have asked that that traffic study be waived and not be required for the reasons that were announced. We haven't made a ruling on that yet. So we understand the concerns of the owners on that block as to the traffic problems. And we have heard from the owner, or the owner, the developer, why they don't want the traffic study performed. We're going to discuss that when everybody in the audience has finished with their comments.
May I ask you, when was the code written? Is it current to today's developments with multiple cars, multiple service people, the infinite route of the television people constantly coming to correct their services? When was the code written?
Give me a second and I can pull it up.
I think the code was originally adopted by the village in the 50s, and it's been amended several times since then. That's what we're bound by, though. You know, unless there's a current amendment, we have to deal with what the requirements are. Now, we're talking only about parking. If a traffic study is required from the developer, then that traffic study will deal with traffic flow and turning and parking and all kinds of things.
But you don't know, the code was originally written in the 50s and it's been amended.
Everybody said it's been amended.
It's okay. Been amended since then.
The last time the multifamily parking requirements were modified was 1995. And anecdotally, what we hear more often than not is that it requires more parking than what developers will tell you is actually required today.
That our code is too strict.
Yeah, meaning our code is too restrictive and it requires too much parking. I don't I can't sit here and tell you as an expert whether that's true or not. I can just tell you that that's something that we hear. So for a three-bedroom unit, they're required to have 2.5 parking spaces per unit. Plus, then they have to have additional parking on top of that for guests. So they're asking for something a little bit less than that, and that's something the DRB will have to take into account and consider when this application comes in.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Sullivan?
No, I think that is very, very crucial.
Who else?
Mary Sullivan.
I just ditto what he said.
It's easy for her.
All right, John, is there anything else, anybody else in the audience that wishes to address this? All right, so John, do you want to make anything else you want to say?
I can stay here and say no. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I do have a question. So the building, the apartment building to the north,
yes,
that would be coming down?
Yes, that's correct.
And then the two garages behind it are part of that?
That's correct.
Okay, so there's three. Who owns that apartment building right now?
The developer.
Okay.
Yeah. They own the property.
All right.
Anything else you want to say, John?
No, I think.
All right. So since this is just a pre-filing conference, you know, we're not going to make a recommendation to the village tonight. But I think it's important that if anybody on the board has comments that they want to direct toward the developer as to, you know, what they want to make sure is dealt with in this project, that this is the right time to give them some ideas to what we're going to be looking for.
The ones on Madison and Forest, there were 29. You could customize your interior or whatever, pick out your finishings. Only 16 have sold, or 13. I mean, and they started in 2016. It's a very similar floor plan as to what you're proposing. It makes me a little anxious that 19 of the same thing, it could be a little difficult. I think with three-story living and all stairs, you know, some people are looking for a ranch-style type townhome or a master on the first floor, two up, something. And it doesn't get you as many units, but 19 of the exact same thing is a tough sale, and I think they would tell you that on Madison and Forest, that 29 of the same thing is tough. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay,
what were those selling for?
479 to 549.
Oh. Okay.
All right, so I think that what we've heard tonight is that the application, you're going to be questioned about parking. You're going to be questioned about pedestrian safety in this project. You're going to be questioned about the appearance of the project. You're required to bring us samples of the materials that are going to be used. We had on that Madison project, I mean, we were talking about windows and the shape of the windows and mullions, indoors and outdoor. Crap. So
I remember.
You gotta be prepared for that. And I think that you know, as Taggart has raised the issue, you know, we need to be concerned about the feasibility of this project. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, so there's one request to the Development Review Board that we waive the requirement for a traffic study for this project, right?
Correct.
So we need to decide whether we're going to consent to the waiving of the traffic study.
Well, is this back then, Concordia didn't have the new dorm building. They've only got one floor finished. I don't think you can waive it this time. I mean, you've got perhaps more college students. I don't know, well, Grace Lutheran's, you know, enrollment is, but as Concordia is building a new dorm, they're probably looking for more students. I think you gotta have a new study.
And I think that's, the Fenwick Field was maybe under construction at the time, at least in the spring, fall, summer, there's a lot more activity, I think, in the Fenwick Field now than it was 3 years ago.
And 3 years ago, the project at Chicago and Harlem had not been begun. So I think there's a number of different conditions. And I don't, personally, I don't favor using any kind of study for one application and permit it to be used in another application. I just think that doesn't give us the information we're looking for. So do you want to withdraw that request? Do you want us to vote on it?
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. In our previous proposal, there were 49 or probably over 50 parking spaces, so it was much more intensive use. And that traffic study determined that there was no significant impact. The current proposal is less intensive than the current use of the property. Currently on the property, there are 34 parking spaces and an open parking lot, and I think 6 or 8 garages. We're proposing less than currently exists in the property.
That's clear from what you've told us.
So the intensity that's going to be will be less than what it is.
We'd like to withdraw the request, Mr.
Okay,
Chair.
So the request to not to have traffic studies but withdrawn. Anybody else got any questions? Yes. All right, so there's nothing else for the Development Review Board to do now because there's no application before this. Us, you know, when the application is complete, when it's determined to be complete, not partially complete, then we'll talk about setting a public hearing for it. All right, we have a motion to dismiss. The second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.